to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 4. For the past couple of months, we've been in a study of the book of Proverbs, God's book of wisdom, on Wednesday evening. And earlier in the month, I made mention that we want to finish up Proverbs chapter number 4 as we head off into the Christmas season, because I want to begin on the first Wednesday of November. We want to begin with a series entitled The Incarnation of Jesus Christ. But then realizing that the Bible study was a little more than what I intended it to be, and because we were going to be out in the field actually having our service on Monday evening, that I'm not going to be able to do that. And at first I thought, well, that's okay, I'll just skip down to the 8th and be right on it then. But no, I think what we're going to do tonight is we're going to finish up Proverbs chapter number 4 tonight, and then we'll be back on track for the incarnation of Jesus Christ on the first Wednesday of November. So I'm excited about that. I trust and pray that you'll come and be a part of that. And if you're listening by the way of live stream and don't normally attend on Wednesday evenings, I encourage you to come to be a part of that. I believe it'll be a real blessing to you, give you a greater understanding of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we began this series in Proverbs chapter number 4, this message that I've entitled Higher Education. We began a couple weeks ago and looking at verses 10 through verse number 27. We didn't mention this, that higher education isn't about just going off to college. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to college. If you're going to get higher education and that's God's will for your life, I encourage you to do that. Your higher education perhaps might be some kind of vocational training. If that's what God desires for you, I encourage you in that area as well. It doesn't necessarily mean that higher education is not just going to college for your undergraduate degree, but perhaps for a graduate degree, maybe a master's or a doctorate. I believe this, that our higher education, as we already have seen from the book of Proverbs, comes directly from God himself. That godly wisdom he gives us through his written word. So far as we looked at this idea of higher education, we have seen the worth of God's higher education found in verses 10 through verse number 13. In verse number 10, we saw that the worth of this higher education gives us an increased lifespan. In verse 11, we saw that the lessons that will be instilled into our life. And then in verses 12, we saw the legs that are going to be invigorated. Then in verse 13, we saw the looseness that is implied. And from there, the worth of God's higher education, we moved quickly on to a good withdrawal as a result of God's higher education. Notice with me verses 14 and 15 of Proverbs chapter number 4. The Bible says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." Notice here, we discuss these five appeals that are given by the Father to his Son. He says, "Enter, go not." In other words, don't even go down the path. Don't take one step down the pathway. He said, "Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away from it." Do whatever's necessary for you to not go down the path of wickedness, to turn down the path of righteousness and the path of wisdom. Which leads us, and we finished out verses 16 through 19 as we work down through those verses, which leads us to where that we need to be tonight. Tonight we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through verse number 27 for a few moments this evening. So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's word, found in Proverbs 4, verses 20 through verse number 27, as we think about this thought of higher education. And as we think about God's higher education tonight, why don't we pray right now and ask God to give us the wisdom of his higher education. Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of your people to gather together in the house of God, Father, to come together to worship and pray, and for the preaching and teaching of your word. So, Father, now I pray as we continue on with this idea of your higher education, I pray, Father, that we'll glean from it, we'll grow from it, and, Father, we'll ultimately become wise and have because of the higher education of your word. So, Father, save that one that just might be here this evening, Father, that does not know Christ as their own personal Savior. And again, Father, we pray for those that are not here, Father, tonight. Let them know just sorely how bad we miss them and desire for them to be back with us very soon. So, Lord, we pray your blessings now upon the preaching and teaching of your word for these next few moments, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated this evening. Notice in verses 20 through verse number 22, we find God's higher education. Notice what the Bible says. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Notice, first of all, this evening, the wholeness of God's higher education. The wholeness of God's higher education. You know, you have heard it said before, and I've perhaps said it myself. If you have your health, you have everything. But the truth of the matter is, if you really want to be whole, then you need more than just the physical aspects of this life. You'll not truly be whole with just the physical aspects of this life. Notice in verse 22, it says, for they are life unto those that find them, and held to all their flesh. The they that they're speaking about are found in verse number 20, referencing the words and the sayings of the Father. Notice the spiritual aspect of the words and sayings. Notice what it says. It says in that verse, our life. So we could say this, that wisdom, or we could say God's truth or God's words, are life-giving. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in John 6 and verse 63. These words that I speak are spirit, and they are life. In John 4 and verse number 14, we find Jesus speaking with that Samaritan woman at that well. And notice what he tells her. But whosoever drinketh of that water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up into eternal life. So we see that there's a spiritual aspect of the words are saying, but then also notice this, there's a physical aspect of these words as well. Notice the last part of those verses. The Bible said, and hell to all thy flesh. So understand this, when we are whole and we are saved and we are living a sanctified, separate life according to what God desires for us, understand this, that the word and the sayings will deliver a person from sins and stresses that cause so many illnesses in our life. And as we follow after God's truth, wisdom can bring health to both the body, but thank God also to our soul as well. And our proof of that is seen in those who you know who have completely committed themselves to God and his word and of being obedient to his word and his way and will in their life. You look at them and you can see how they have great physical health, but spiritual health as well. And this physical and spiritual health is not limited to just a few. Notice what the Bible said, unto those that find them. Now listen, we're not preaching some kind of social gospel here that you just be what God wants you to be and you're not going to have any physical problems in your life. That's not what it's saying. But the general truth is being taught here in this passage. That word find doesn't mean something that is found by chance or something that you just perhaps stumble upon. But it means something found by a diligent search. So this is why the Bible tells us we must study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15. Without the wholeness that God's wisdom can give us, understand this, our life is at very best a fragmented mess that we try to keep together each and every day of our life. And this wholeness comes to us through the use of our ear gate, but also our eye gate. Notice in verse 20, let's first look at the sounds one hears, the sound one hears. Notice what the Bible said in verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. So again, we find that the father is instructing his children, literally his son, but way of application, we could say both a son and a daughter. And notice what his advice is. His advice is to attend. His advice is to incline. And that word attend literally means this, pay close attention to. And that word incline means to lean toward a particular course of action. So here we find Solomon telling his son, hey, listen, you better pay close attention to these words of mine and the sayings of mine. Incline or lean toward a particular course of action versus a wrong course of action. And this is an invitation, literally, to pay close attention to God's course of a higher education that comes from the Word of God. Notice the use of the ear. It's the way that you and I listen. That's how we hear. Some people can't hear and they read sign language. I do understand that. But most of us, we use our ears to hear what God has for us and hear what other people have to say. Notice that they found in verse 22, referring back to the words and sayings in verse number 20. And there are going to be a lot of voices that literally compete for our children's attentions. The world, the flesh, and the devil are competing for your children's attention. Understand this evening that our children are affected by the things that they hear. And by the way, let me just remind you, not only are our children affected by the things that they hear, you and I as well are affected by the things that we hear. So it's an imperative that we, speaking about our children and even ourselves, open up our ears to those that have the right things to say. If we want to stay on the right path, if we want to have God's pathway of wisdom, if we want to be on the pathway of righteousness, it will only come as we open up our ears to those who have the right things to say. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 10, where the Bible says, there are, it may be, so many kind of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. And then 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 5, the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To hear what we ought to hear, every thought must be, number one, compared to the Word of God. As we hear things, and as you watch the news, and people are trying to correlate some Bible prophecy with what's happening on the news, listen, you need to understand this, that you need to compare what you hear to the Word of God. You need to have it filtered through the presence of Jesus Christ. You need to understand this, that ask the Holy Spirit of God, who the Bible teaches us, is our teacher, to teach you the truth of what you are hearing. In other words, what goes into the ear also goes into our minds. And what is heard, it either helps our spiritual life or it hinders our spiritual life. That's the two choices. It helps or it hinders. Well, not only the sound one hears, but notice in verse 21, notice the sight one sees. The Bible says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Again, that word them is referring to the words and sayings that's found in verse number 20. In verse 21, we see how the heart literally is connected to the eyes. I'm reminded of Job 31 in verse number 1, where Job said this, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? So although we look at Job chapter 31 and verse number 1, it's probably dealing with adulterous thoughts, specifically in the context of that writing in Job 31 and verse number 1. But the principle here is simply this, that you and I have to guard our eyes from things that are going to harm us. We have to be careful what we see and allow into our eye gate. What we view has a direct effect upon our hearts. You say, no, it doesn't. Yes, it does. The psalmist David said in Psalm 101 in verse number 3, he said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Why would he say that? He would say that because he understood this fact, that the things that we see affect our heart. And to hold on to higher education or the ways of wisdom, we must be held on in our heart. I think the strongest grip that we have is not a grip of our physical fist or these five fingers or five toes, whatever you grip things with. The strongest grip is the one that's held tight by our heart. And what we hold tight into our heart affects our life. It gets to our heart because it comes in our eye gate. It comes in our ear gate. I'm reminded of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 23, where the Bible says this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see that God's education makes us whole. We saw God's education is of great worth. We saw God's education will help us withdraw. But then notice in verse 23 through verse number 27, notice lastly that God's higher education will help us in our watchfulness. It will help us in our watchfulness. Let's read verses 23 down through verse 27. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and reserve perverse lips, verse 24. But put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the paths of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. As we look at this idea of God's higher education, it will be helpful for you and I to be watchful. Notice verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our heart must be kept because of the tendency for it to deceive us and to be deceptive. You know, your heart will deceive you. Your heart is very deceptive. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah in the 17th chapter in verse 9, that familiar verse to many of us, says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart can't keep itself without some watchfulness. If we're not careful, we don't watch our heart, guess what's going to happen? Our heart is going to begin to wander in places down the path of unrighteousness. We should, number one, guard our heart. You say, well, Pastor, how do I guard my heart? Well, I think there's a couple of ways. Very easily, keep the right company. If you keep the right company, keep those people who are born again, sold out, surrendered believers, you probably not have a problem with guarding your heart. Number two, you can think the right thoughts. I know sometimes that's easier said than done, but as we apply the truths of God's wisdom to our life, it gets easier and easier and easier for us to do that. We ought to read the right literature. What literature should I read? Well, you ought to start off with God's Word. That's where it starts. That's where the wisdom is contained at. It's this holy Word. Let's read that. And then go to the right places. Where's the right place? I don't know where the right place or the wrong place is for you, but definitely the right place is be in services when the door is open, amen? Be here for visitation. Be here for soul winning. Be here for Sunday school. Just be here. Be here on Monday night. And you say, well, I'm not going to trunk or treat. I don't have a trunk, and I'm not going to give out treats. Listen, bring a chair and sit down in fellowship with us, amen? Just be here with God's people. Go to the right places. And then lastly, look at the right things. I think of all this list, I think oftentimes this one right here, look at the right things, catches a lot of us up in the wrong areas of our life. Well, we need to keep our heart as a garden is kept. You know, when you have a garden is kept with continual attention. Listen, if you just leave your garden for just 1 week or 2 weeks, guess what? After about 2 weeks, it's almost a done deal that you're not going to get anything out of it. It's too much work to go in and clean up all the weeds and the grasses that grow up in there. Watering and weeding is not a one and done. You can't just wait till the very first time that fruit begins to come up out of the ground and you just weed it and water it just one time and go on your way and hope everything's going to be all right. It has to be done over and over again. It has to be done day in and day out. And so it is true with our heart as well. Our heart needs to have continual attention. We need to water it with the water of God's Word. We need to weed out those sinful traits that we have in our life. There's never a time when nothing ever does not need to be done in our heart. There's always something that needs to be done. It needs to be fed or it needs to be weeded. Oftentimes, it needs to be weeded and then God will begin to feed our heart. Listen, you know that I don't have a garden. I'm not much of a vegetable fan, but I know that some of you are, and you have wonderful vegetables, and I'm thankful for that. But that's not the only reason why I don't want to have a garden, because it's hard work, amen. I can remember by the sweat of my brow as a little boy working in my dad's garden, pulling out those weeds that probably should have been pulled out weeks before, trying to make the garden more profitable for my parents at my dad's direction. And it's hard work, but anything worth keeping, it takes work to keep it, amen. You want your garden to grow, it's going to take hard work. You want God to water your heart with the word, that's going to take hard work. You're going to have to pull out the weeds that are in your heart. Water the garden of your heart and with the water of God's word. Pull those weeds out whenever and wherever they're found. You understand this, that love will weed out hate in your heart. Faith will weed out unbelief in your heart. Obedience will weed out stubbornness in your heart. Humility will weed out the pride that you have in your heart. Contentment will weed out restlessness in your heart. Long-suffering will weed out impatience. Gentleness will weed out unkindness. Peace will weed out rebellion in your life. Goodness, thank the Lord, will weed out evil inside your heart. And purity will weed out the uncleanliness that you have allowed to begin to grow in your heart. You want a good garden? Let me help you. Pull out the weeds. It's hard work. You see, how do you know that? Because I'm a person just like you. And periodically, even this pastor has to weed out his heart to allow the water of God's word to saturate and soak my heart that I might receive this higher wisdom. Well, not only should we guard our heart, but notice, you should give your heart. In other words, give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, say, okay, God, I made a mess of this life. And I understand this, that I need you. I need you for my salvation. You need to put your faith and trust in him. And God wants your heart, and he's the best keeper of your heart. You surely are not a keeper of your heart. Understand this, that God will not lose what you have placed inside of his hands. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says this, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, Paul says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day." Then in Jude 24, we find these wonderful words. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy." So as we give and as we guard our hearts, we need to be watchful over a couple things. Notice in verse number 24, we're to be watchful over our speech. Notice what the Bible says. "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and a perverse lips put far from thee." We need to guard against using the wrong words. A froward mouth literally is perversive speech, speech that is contrary to the truth. It's opposed to love and foreign to the goodness of God. And so we ought to put away this froward mouth, this perverseness of our speech. You might even say that it's a hateful, lying, and a sin-loving tongue that you and I have. And the Bible says to put it away. Do away with it. Be careful. Watch over our speech. What you say comes from what you think. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, the Bible says this, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What you say comes from what you think. What you think comes from what you listen to and what you watch. So we need to be careful and watchful in our speech. But notice verse number 25. It also makes reference to our sight. "Let thine eyes look right on." I mean straight ahead. "And let thine eyelids look straight before thee." Our attention needs to be focused. We can't let ourselves become distracted. You say, well, what should I be focused on? What should I not be distracted from? Hebrews 12 and verse 2 plainly tells us that. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." So we would say this, that guarding and watching what we watch and listen, it will protect our hearts. Well, we need to be watchful in our speech. We need to be watchful in our sight. Notice verse 26, we find that we need to be watchful in our direction. Notice what the Bible says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. When our hearts are right, guess what? They will lead us in the right way. That word ponder gives us the idea that we must be thinking about these things. The way of righteousness, the way of truth, the way of God's higher education, the way of God's word. And then he uses that word established. It literally means this, continuing to grow successfully and strongly in the right way. The way of righteousness, the way of God's godly wisdom. I'm reminded of Hebrews 13 and verse 9, where the Bible says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Well, we need to be watchful in our speech. We need to be watchful in our sight. We need to be watchful in our direction. And so that there would be, in verse 27, notice, no deviation. There'll be no deviation. Notice what it says. Turn not to thy right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The way of wisdom is a strict way. It's straight down the middle. It's not to the left. It's not to the right. It's not gray. It's black and it's white. And we need to be in the middle of God's way. It doesn't allow for any deviation from the pathway that God has laid out for me or the pathway that God has laid out for you. So as we draw this chapter to a conclusion tonight, understand this, that hanging on to our higher education will take all that we can give it, all the time that we have, all our understanding of God's word. If we're going to hang on to this higher education, this promises of God's wisdom found here in the book of Proverbs, whenever there's a let up, guess what? There is always going to be a let down. So I would encourage you, do not let up on this instruction of God's higher education. Because if you let up, there will be a letdown in your life. God's education is of great worth. God's education will help us have a good withdrawal from the evil things of this world. God's education will make us whole. And God's education takes watchfulness. And God's education is the highest form of education that's available for you and I. I wonder tonight, won't you be willing to commit to God's plan of a higher education in your life? Would you commit today to say, yes, God, I'm going to commit to your plan for my higher education. It's the path of righteousness and wisdom. And it's also, the Bible says, the way of truth. I can't think of a better pathway and a better plan than those three things. Let's desire God's higher education. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these verses that we looked at here this evening. Thank you, Father, for the truthfulness that's laid out before us. God, this pathway of higher education. Oh, Father, I pray that you would help us to understand the worthiness of this higher education. Help us, Father, to understand the good withdrawal from the evil and wicked things of this world. Father, help us to understand that this higher education will make us whole, both spiritually but physically as well. And then, Father, your godly higher education, Father, takes watchfulness. And, Father, we're going to have to do our very best, Father, to stay right down the middle. Father, I ask then that you'll help us today as we focus on this matter of your higher education. God, would you work in the hearts of your people that are gathered here tonight. Help them, Father, to understand they need to make a commitment. They need to make a plan in their life to have and receive this higher education, to hold on to it tightly. So, Father, I pray that you'll save that one that could be here that doesn't know Christ. Lord, I ask him that they might receive Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior today. And, Father, we'll be careful to praise you. Lord, we do thank you for this wonderful chapter of Proverbs, chapter number 4. Lord, bless now as only you can do during this time of invitation and reflection. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to our